What about me, lover? The female voice said. A husky little laugh added to the end. Agent Ben sounded like she just had too much sex, drugs, and rock and roll and was hungry for more. You and I stay here. I'll cover the doors. Flush them toward me. There was a mewling sound of pleasure from the woman. Come with me, she urged. Change. You know you'll love it so much. You'll know how good it feels. I could visualize Denton's veins throbbing. It's smarter for one of us to cover the door with a gun. But there was a sort of heavy reluctance to his tone. Fuck smart, Ben purred. Come with me. Change. It's not why we did this. Not why we made the bargain. Ben made another sound, utterly sexual in nature. It doesn't matter now. Taste it, she urged him. Taste the blood. The light wavered and dropped from the corner where I hid. I chanced to look up. Agent Ben, spattered in gore, stood before Denton in a wash of his flashlight from the floor. She had three of her fingers pressed together and was sliding them between his lips. Denton was shaking, and his eyes were squeezed tightly closed. He sucked at her fingers, something frighteningly erotic in the motion. One of the huge, gaunt beasts from earlier, Wilson, I suppose, stood nearby, watching the pair of them with gleaming eyes. Denton made a growling sound and grasped Ben by her mane of gray hair, jerking her chin so that he could nuzzle and lick the blood smeared over her throat. She laughed and arched into him, her hips undulating against his urgent motions. Change, she moaned. Change, do it. There was a howl of rage and a flash of motion, and Parker staggered from the darkness, one arm dangling uselessly, a heavy knife in his other hand, and defiance and insane anger in his glazed eyes. Denton and Ben looked up. Then they reached to their waists, flickered, and changed into a pair of nightmare-sized wolves, their eyes glowing in the ambient light, jaws dropping open, revealing lolling tongues and vicious fangs. Parker lurched forward, greasy hair flying, and the three wolves leapt on him. I stared in a sort of sickened fascination. The wolves buried him under a mound of fangs and fur and blood and absolute fury. He screamed, the knife flailing, and it was cast aside out of his hands to land spinning on the floor not far from me. Parker tried to fight, tried to struggle up and kick, but it was all hopeless. There were flashes of blood, and he screamed again, and it went still. And then the wolves started to eat him. They bit off chunks of muscle and gulped them down, ripping aside clothing to get at more meat. They snarled and snapped at one another, and one of the males mounted the female, even as she continued to tear at the body, burrowing her muzzle down through the layers of stomach muscle to get at the vitals. My gorge rose, and if I'd had anything into my stomach, I would have emptied it onto the concrete floor. Instead, I turned back to the half-finished hole in the floor and started digging at it with my wrench, frantic. I didn't want to be the next thing on the menu. There were more yelps from outside, more growls, and I opened the hole up enough that I thought I might be able to get out. I flattened myself down and wormed my way into the dirt, the corrugated metal scraping at my back, my wounded shoulder paining me again. I jerked my way out into the open air, to find myself in an alley behind a garage, dimly lit by a distant street lamp. There were wolves everywhere. Three wolves, smaller than the ones I'd seen before, were spread in a loose ring about a great russet-furred beast with bat-like ears. The great wolf's coat was spattered with blood, and two of the smaller wolves lay nearby, yelping in pain still, stirring weakly, blood matted to their coats. Terror was part of the ring, around the great beast as well, naked and lean, a length of pipe held in either hand. When the great wolf turned toward one of the others, the rest would begin to close in on him, and he would spin again, jaws flashing, trying to pin down one of those who encircled him. You took your time, wizard, Terra snarled without looking back at me. I got to my feet, wrench in hand, and shook my head to clear it of cold sweat. Terra, I said, we've got to get out of here. Denton and the others will be coming. Go, she responded. Help MacFin. We will hold them. The great russet wolf lunged at her, and she skittered back, coolly staying a hair's breadth from his fangs. She fetched him a sharp blow across the nose with more speed than I could have believed, and a contemptuous snort. The three smaller wolves rushed the great beast, and he spun to drive them back and away from him, drawing a yelp from one that wasn't swift enough to entirely evade his jaws. "You can't stop them all," I said. "There's three more like this one." "They are a pack on the ground," she snarled, and jerked her head toward the wounded wolves. "We do not abandon our own." I let out an acid curse. I needed Tara. She could confirm everything, help me sort out all the facts, make sure I could understand what was going on. She was offering to give her life for me, to stay and occupy Denton and the others for as long as she could, and her compatriots could. But I had seen enough of people dying already tonight. I wasn't going to accept another loss on my behalf. And I was abruptly more furious than afraid. I've been run around and treated like a piece of baggage or a choice item on the menu for long enough. I flailed around in the dark and been helpless and ineffective for way too long. Too many people had been hurt, too much suffering caused by creatures of magic and the night, things that I should have been handling. It didn't matter to me at that moment that I couldn't work out any of my spells against them. I might not have magic available to me, but that didn't make me any less of a wizard. One of the magi, the wise. That's the true power of a wizard. I know things. Knowledge is power. With power comes responsibility. That made the entire thing pretty simple. I clutched the wrench in my hand, took a deep breath, and threw myself forward at the great wolf's back. The huge wolf sensed me coming, spun with abrupt speed, and met me in the air. It slammed me down on the concrete and bent its jaws toward my throat. I heard Tara cry out, and she and the other wolves moved forward, but they would never have been able to get the thing before it killed me. That wasn't the point. I jammed the wrench into the wolf's jaws, feeling some teeth tear at one of my fingers as I did. The wolf snarled and jerked the wrench out of my hands. It spun end over end away from me, and the great beast turned back toward me, its eyes glowing. I had time to watch it all in great detail. The wolf's power, its speed, simply shocked me. It was huge, quick, and I didn't have a prayer against it. The distant streetlight gleamed off its reddened fangs, and its muzzle sped toward my throat.